your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now!
All right, welcome back into the bullpen. 1 hour to go. Mount Rushmore plus one coming up in 30 minutes. Brian, Cam, Sean, and John with you here. And let's talk some college football, boys. Sean, you pointed out in this athletic head coaching tiers in college football that they put out. And I think you and I were both annoyed by the fact that even though they tiered it inside their tiers, they didn't rank them. They just put them alphabetically.
Yeah, the coward's way out.
Yeah, it was the coward's way out. Like, we give us more data points to talk about here, more things to argue about. But so the first tier in this athletic coaching, the athletic coaching tiers for college football, I don't have a huge problem. Oh, I don't have any problem with the two names in it. I think there's maybe a slight argument for names left out, but that first tier of coaches from the athletic and college football, Kurt Cignetti and Kirby Smart, any names, Cam or Sean, that stand out for coaches that could be put into tier one along with Kirby and Cignetti?
For me, I think it's those two, and that's it. I don't have anyone else in that tier of, like, to me, that's like truly difference making coaches with no, like, I have no notes. No notes for these guys.
Yeah, okay. That would be something to define, like, how you're defining, like, what separates that tier one from tier two.
Yeah, I have no, like, yeah, but with them. You know?
Okay, well, you're going to have some yeah, but with the name I was going to suggest, so maybe that kind of cuts me off in the knees. But I'm still going to say it. But, like,
don't be scared to.
I think you can make an argument, and I know what the yeah, but's going to be. Well, he almost rarely beats Michigan, but I think he can make an argument for Ryan Day.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like,
certainly his national title more recent than Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart hasn't had a great run in the playoffs as of late.
He hasn't won one since they beat TCU in the second national title. Yeah. But they did go back to back. You know,
they did go back to back, which is greater sign than anything Ryan Day has done.
And they've won the SEC the last 2 years with, like, teams that, I guess because we're comparing them to the two teams that won back-to-back, two teams that were like, yeah, sure. But they went back-to-back in the SEC, you know? So I think he would probably be three on my list, but I think he would still be top of tier two, not quite there yet. I really wish he would have beat Michigan, like, one other time. You know,
yeah,
like, the year that they won the title.
Let's have two in a row.
Yes, but the year they won the title, they lost to, like, an absolutely, like, dreadful Davis Warren-led
So it's just one in a row, actually. Yeah,
Davis Warren led.
Wasn't that game like 14-7?
I thought it was 10-3 or something.
Yeah, it was a bad game.
So it's like,
and at Ohio State, no less.
So that's the yeah, but for me, you know, it's like we're still not that far away from that.
That's fair. Cam, anybody that you would argue to move up, or are you fine with the tier one?
No, I'm fine. I mean, kind of like with Sean, like, I'd be okay with moving Ryan Day up to the top of tier two, maybe Dan Lanning. And honestly, probably Kyle Whittingham, too, just because
Lanning's
he's
got to get to a title game before I could put him into.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Like, he's someone that could get there next year. But, yeah, I have no problem with him being stuck in tier two.
Well, same
now
with Kyle Whittingham, because didn't he go to Michigan?
Yeah, he's at Michigan.
And, like, he's done a lot of great work at lower universities with less recruiting.
Yeah.
And he's had a great career. So I think if Kyle Whittingham can do something in Michigan, he could easily jump into tier one. But yeah, as far as right now, I'm fine with these two.
I would think Lanning and Freeman are two that can, and I guess Day, but Freeman and Lanning probably could do the most for themselves.
Yeah, they're definitely one season away, I think, from moving into tier one. So the tier two, to list off the rest of the names, we mentioned a couple of them there. But Mario Cristobal at Miami, Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, Ryan Day at Ohio State, Steve Sarkisian at Texas, James Franklin, Virginia Tech. That's an interesting one. He just got fired less than a full calendar year ago. Lane Kiffin now at LSU, Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, Dan Lanning at Oregon, Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, and Kyle Whittingham now at Michigan. I think the names that stand out to me as far as, like, are we sure they're tier two? Like, Dabo is really living off past success right now to still include him in tier two. And beyond, like, those titles being a while ago now, he also is, like, the last coach fighting against what is now the new age of college football with NIL and the transfer portal. Like, he's unwilling to adapt to the current age, you throw in on top that it's been, you know, a little while since those titles, and like I would not have a problem if Dabo was in the third tier, because I think right now, current day, Clemson, who's unranked, and last made the playoffs 2 years ago as a 12 seed and got smoked by Texas, I don't think you could make an argument that current day Dabo Swinney is a tier two coach.
I'm with that.
Yeah, yeah. In the article, they have like what you were last year, and last year Dabo was still tier one. So I think this just might be like kind of a lagging,
a slow drop.
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, for the most part, I am kind of fine with. In general, of like, hey, especially in like a coaching thing where it's like. Like, yeah, like the success is still there. That, like, it does take a while for you to fully work yourself out of those rankings. But yeah, he and you mentioned James Franklin are the two like kind of eyebrow raises on the bad side. You know, where I am a little bit like I'm not quite sure there with either of them. I think they're kind of both on the like wrong end of maybe their coaching, you know, lifespan. But everyone else I feel like is pretty like clearly tier two, where they're like good coaches, but there is like a something that's keeping me from putting them in tier one, you know, like DeBoer.
That was
Cristobal.
One I was going to bring up is like, I think DeBoer is a bad season away from being demoted. Kind of like same as like Marcus Freeman is like a good season away from being promoted. I think DeBoer, because of like, I know he went to a national title game against in Washington.
Yeah.
But as we get further removed from that, and he continues to disappoint with 9-win seasons at Alabama, lose to Oklahoma, and such, although he did get a win over Georgia last year. Like, I think there's a chance he could drop into Tier 3 next year.
I don't think that just because I think Alabama's crazy. And so he's, like, more likely to – it's like the James Franklin thing where it's, like, he's more likely to get fired to me.
That wouldn't put him into Tier 3?
And I would still think he's a – great coach.
Okay. Yeah, like, I guess he could go somewhere else and win.
Yes. Like, I mean, he was rumored to be targeted by Penn State and Michigan this offseason.
He might have made the jump. I don't know if it's going to work out there.
It's a little bit of like get out before they kick you out kind of situation. Yeah. But yeah, I think DeBoer, like, if he gets fired from Alabama, he'll get an amazing job and probably be awesome there. So he is the one where I think I'm higher than, I guess, consensus on. But, you know, Sarkisian, Kiffin, Cristobal, like, they all have, like some warts on them. But ultimately, it's like, you are getting very high-level success from all three of these guys.
So, Cam, in that tier two, anybody stand out to you as someone that maybe doesn't belong or is a season away from moving up or down?
I mean, for me, it's Franklin and Dabo. I would have both those guys on tier three right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. Winningham, I think you're right, where it's like just being at Utah for so long.
Is Winningham only in tier two because he took the Michigan job?
No.
Because moving to tier three, like, I think if Clark Lee was the person who took the Michigan job, he and Winningham would be flipped. Because Clark Lee, in those 2 years of Vanderbilt, I know it's only two seasons, but, nine wins last year? I believe 9 years.
No, they're
like
10-2.
Yeah, anyway. But like, I think they were very close. Obviously, they were like 16th in nation. They weren't that far away from being in the playoff. Like, I think what Clark Lee has done at Vanderbilt, if he had taken a more high profile job, let's just say he and Kyle Winningham flip, I could very easily see Clark Lee winding up as like the bottom of tier two.
I think
there's a little bit of a name on the side of the or on the jersey going on here.
Back of the baseball.
Side of the helmet, yeah. Well, although, except for Michigan because they don't have the logo.
And coaches don't wear helmets.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's a perfect analogy.
It's perfect.
To me, it's Clark Lee. You're looking at 2 years with Kyle Winningham. You're looking at 20. You know, like,
yeah.
He was at Utah for so long. And the thing is, at Utah, you're not really on that like national title level. Just like it's the obstacles in your way to get there, or it's like out of your control almost. But I think just the track record of like, he's the best coach in program of their program's history, like easily. And they've had Urban Meyer as the as their coach, but it's Urban Meyer was there for 2 years. Kyle Whittingham was there for 20. So I think it's ultimately, like, for me, the track record there.
Did he replace Urban Meyer?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't realize he bridged the gap.
Yes. Too. He beat Alabama in a BCS bowl game in 2008.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a fair pushback. So moving down to tier three as we round out this conversation, there's certainly, I think, some questionable names and some names that raise eyebrows, like, wow, what a fall from grace. Let's start off with, I think, a fall from grace. Lincoln Riley being in tier three just screams, like, what happened? This guy was, if we had done this, you know, tiers 4 or 5 years ago, like, he's probably tier one.
Yeah. Maybe even 2 years. Or maybe not tier one, but like 2 years ago, he's definitely tier two.
Yeah, like coming off the Caleb Heisman, he's at least tier two. I mean, what was it, like 3 Heismans in a row, 4 Heismans in a row with his quarterbacks? I think obviously Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Caleb Williams, and I think did Jalen Hurts also win a Heisman?
He was a finalist.
He was a finalist. So like his track record with getting teams not only to a winning record, but putting his quarterbacks either with the Heisman Trophy in their hand or on the podium is like it's crazy to look at Lincoln Riley and see how far he's fallen. I mean, USC's a ranked team this year. It's not like he's coaching in obscurity right now, but it's just it's a little eye popping to see Lincoln Riley's fall.
Yeah, I think he's one who's probably like a good season away from being back in the second tier.
Probably.
But
USC makes the playoffs.
But he actually needs to make the playoffs. You know, like, he actually needs to, and he is probably the coach with the most, like, clear, defined, like, you must do this or else you are out of here. And it's
he's on the hot seat, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If they don't make the playoff, like, I don't know. I don't know how they bring him back. So to me, he makes sense in the third tier, but it is like shocking to see him there, like next to, you know, PJ Fleck, John Summerall, you know, like these guys are good coaches, but
they're not
Minnesota, and Summerall hasn't coached a game for Florida yet.
Definitely,
you know?
Not with Lincoln Riley's resume. Another name on here that caught my eye, Cam, and I'm going to go to you on this because I know you have some Aggie fans in your family there. I believe your mom is a big Aggies fan. Is that correct?
Mom and middle sister went to A&M.
So there you go. Like, I think if Mike Elko's Aggies don't score 3 points against Miami, just have a good showing, there's a chance that Elko, having in his year one, obviously he did a lot of good things before A&M as well, but having year one where they're one game out of the playoff, year two where he gets the playoffs with an 11-1 regular season, like, I think if they don't just go out and embarrass himself offensively against Miami, there's a chance he's in tier two. Like, he's definitely, I think, a season away, a good season away, going back to the playoffs away from being in tier two. But what do you think of where Mike Elko is ranked?
I'm a little surprised that he's not tier two, but I think that out of all the names on tier three, he has the easiest path to jump to tier two.
Him or Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, for similar things that you were saying. I mean, and the thing too was is the fact they were favored against Miami and then had that poor showing. So he probably would be tier two, even if they had lost and scored more points.
Yeah, it was just a good game.
Yeah, they lost 24-17.
Yeah. Like he's basically a touchdown away from being tier two.
Yeah. No, I agree, and I think I'm looking at the full. I know I'm looking at the full list, but I think that if I needed someone to, like, you know, coach my team today, I think Elko would be the guy off of tier three. You know, like, Kenny Dillingham from Arizona State, and Willie Fritz, funny enough, from U of H.
I think Fritz is, like, if Houston makes the playoff this year, which they're a live dog to do that, I mean, Fritz can move. I mean, we know his track record at Tulane and elsewhere where he just seems to always, by year two, get the team to 9 wins. Like, I think Fritz can move up.
It's like a baby Whittingham situation.
Yeah.
Of like,
yeah, for sure.
It you know, U of H isn't Michigan. Sorry, Cougs fans. Whoa,
bold statement.
But I do think that there's some of that of, he's been so good, but at jobs that, like, realistically, you're not holding against him that he hasn't had these huge nationally relevant teams. I think if you, I mean, even make the Big 12 title game and, like, can push Texas Tech in any serious way, like, that to me is a successful season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they won 9 games this year, or last year, that is. I mean, look at their schedule. They have to go to Texas Tech, so that's obviously a game where they'll be the underdog and will most likely lose. But I don't see a reason why they couldn't win 10 games of being in, or yeah, win 10 games of being in the playoff conversation. Now it's just a question of how many teams in the Big 12 get in, because you know the SEC and Big 10 are going to get half the field.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to make the playoff.
I think they have to win the Big 12 to get in, probably. I don't know if a 10-2 runner-up to Texas Tech is enough, but we'll see. Two more names I want to mention before we get out here on the other side of the break and try to see if my voice can make it through Hype Train on the other side. A couple names who had some past success, but I think maybe could be bumped down a tier to tier four, like Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia. I mean, are we kidding? Like I would push hard that he should be down a tier. And then
put on some Tavon Austin highlights. Yeah, Elmer. Put it on this YouTube stream. Actually,
and then Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. Like, all right, have fun going 8-4. Like, I mean, I think
Kirk
Ferentz. We're living off past success here.
Kirk Ferentz is going to be tier three until he retires.
Like, probably. There's just people that respect him too much.
You just can't. Yeah, and he's going to retire. I mean, I assume in the next 3 years.
I'm surprised he hasn't already. Yeah, he's going to be 85. Yes, he's not actually.
Playing. When I was thinking of people in tier three that could challenge Elko for who I'd want to coach my team today. Kirk Ferentz did not factor.
Oh, really?
I read right past this name.
Just went right past it? Yeah. I don't blame you there. All right. ESPN Radio 97.5. Again, on the other side of the break, we'll come back with the Hype Train. Don't go anywhere. ESPN Radio 97.5. Brian, Cam, and Sean will be right back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
We don't get hype. We stay hype.
You know it, bro.
This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
Welcome back into The Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, John Belmer behind the glass. Hey, Sean, it is time for the Hype Train because we don't get hype, Sean.
We stay hype.
That wasn't hype, bro.
That was weak.
Let's try that one more time. Sean, we don't get hyped.
We stay hyped.
A little better. All right. First news, Eagles Lane Johnson. On what to expect from star running back Saquon Barkley. We'll see the Saquon from 2 years ago. Sean, are you in on Saquon Barkley?
Yeah. I think I am in on Saquon Barkley. Thank you.
We missed that. Thank you,
Johnny.
I forgot
the dropped element of.
Yeah, AJ wasn't playing this.
Yes, I do. You know, partially there's just more or one less mouth to feed with AJ Brown departing there, and I don't think Mekhi Lemon or who's the
Eli Stowers?
Eli Stowers? No, they got a free agent.
They got Hollywood Brown, and they got.
I thought they got like a real guy, not Hollywood Brown. Anyway,
there was another guy there too. I forget.
Yeah, I don't think that cuts into. The increase that Saquon's going to get with, you know, getting a top 10 receiver out of it.
Cam, are you in on Saquon Barkley?
I am.
All aboard!
Yeah,
I think his rushing yards dropped off by like 900, which just speaks to how crazy his 2024 was. Yeah, but it's just like his drop off is just another bullet point in the evidence that I'm not expecting much from Christian McCaffrey this year. Like when they pass that 400 touch threshold, especially when they're getting up there for, you know, a running back, Christian McCaffrey being over 30, like,
Saquon's
plus
like,
he's been, I mean, we already almost, I think we already kind of have the evidence with Christian McCaffrey. He's been hurt pretty much all preseason. Like I'm a full pass on Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, McCaffrey, yes. Yeah,
I'm fine with Saquon. Yeah, I think the workload's there.
Yeah, Dontavian Wicks was the guy.
Dontavian Wicks, yeah, trade with the Eagles, or with the Packers, that is.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Michael DiRocco, athletic reporter for the Jaguars, believes that Parker Washington has established himself as the Jaguars' wide receiver one. Cam, are you fully in on Parker Washington as the target leader for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm on board with him being the target leader. I'm not on board with being like, oh, yeah, he's a solidified number one.
Well, the report is that he's a Jaguars number one. You can still say he's not a fantasy one.
Yeah, Jags. Okay, so Jags one. Yes, that's the extent of it, though.
Is there a drop for a tepid answer? Like, where I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, I'll say I'm not on the hype train.
This train is off the tracks.
I'm still.
Who is that from, John? I haven't heard that one. If we played that one before, I haven't heard it.
I'm still BTJ Holden.
Well, speaking of, hold that thought, Sean. Jaguars' Liam Cohen says Brian Thomas attacking development, extremely intentional with the things he wanted to improve on. So you're on side BTJ.
Hype.
All aboard!
Although I will say that I guess one's coming from a reporter, right? That's DeRocco's a reporter.
Yeah, he's their beat writer for The Athletic.
And Cohen is the head coach. But hearing, on one hand, Parker Washington has established himself as the number one. And on the other hand, I'm getting coach speak of attacking development and extremely intentional. That isn't not really what I want to hear.
No, that's not saying he's actually good now. He's just trying.
I would like that flipped. I would like Liam Cohen saying Brian Thomas is our number one receiver, but I still believe in the upside. And
so if you could only draft one Jaguars receiver, because why would you draft multiple?
Thomas.
You would draft him, Brian Thomas?
Because they're all going in around the same range.
Cam, who you drafting? Parker Washington or Brian Thomas Jr.?
Or Jacoby Myers.
Pass. Also pass on Travis Hunter.
Obviously. Obviously. Yes, PSA. Unless you're in the ESPN 97.5 Listener League, don't listen to this. Do not draft Travis Hunter this year.
Unless you're in the IDP league.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But yes. To be a wide receiver, do not draft him.
Even if he gets just two touchdowns, huge bonus.
Yes.
Parker Washington.
You're Parker Washington? Yeah. Oh, we got a little a house divided over here all season. We'll be following. I'm a Parker Washington guy.
Whoa, John.
I'll go BTJ.
Thank you.
He just said that because I said Parker Washington.
I know.
John
I know.
Is a hater. Which I like that John's back because he can teammate. Be. I mean, we need the yin to my yang, right? We need that. All right.
And I was just searching for an ally.
We're just gonna go around the office.
I was gonna go down the hall and ask Lance.
See if Lance is here. Is Lance here?
I can be bought.
I don't know if he's here. You can do that? All right, next item. Dolphins running back Devon Achane ready for expanded role at centerpiece of the offense. We saw earlier this offseason their head coach Halfley say he was going to give Achane 40 touches per game, which no, he won't. There's obviously been a lot of unsureness about Devon Achane because obviously he's a super talented back. It's a lot of receiving work, explosive. Like, is there any guy running back in the league more capable of taking the distance on a breakaway? Probably not. Maybe Jahmyr Gibbs, you could argue, but yeah. Despite all that, he's attached to what might be the worst offense in football, Sean. So are you hearing the hype on the level of workload Devon Achane is getting? Is that easing some of your concerns? Even maybe he's less efficient, he's just going to get so much work that it evens itself out, but where are you at with Devon Achane? You hyped or not hyped?
I'm not hyped.
Get off this train now.
About anything involving the 2026 Miami Dolphins.
I have a ticket on DraftKings for Miami Dolphins' fewest win total.
Yeah, no, I think
although
that's a good
Cardinals,
sign.
They weren't the favorite. The Cardinals are the favorite, but
yeah,
I took the better odds.
I mean, he better be the centerpiece of this offense. Cause
who else?
God help us.
God help us.
I heard this stat the other day, and I don't know if it's ever happened in the NFL before. They literally don't have a single receiver or tight end being drafted in regular size leagues right now in fantasy. In regular size leagues, they're all going as undrafted players.
Malik Washington, Tutu Atwell, Jalen Tolbert, Caleb Douglas, Chris Bell, who I kind of like. But
yeah, Bell, but he's coming off the ACL.
Yeah, Greg Dulcich.
Nope.
Will Kekemerick.
Never heard of him.
Huh?
Sidu Traore.
That's not a real person.
Terrence Marshall Jr.
Good I remember
Lord,
him.
How many do they have?
From LSU.
Yep. Yeah. Jalen Rager.
No.
Oh, my God. TCU.
Yeah.
TCU.
Drafted one pick ahead of Justin
TCU
Jefferson.
TCU has had some busts at wide receiver. Remember
Dotson?
Josh Doctson? Yeah.
I do remember him.
I think he caught a touchdown against Texas one year or so in the Big 12, unfortunately.
Jalen Wright.
Ollie yeah, a lot Gordon. Of bums that you're reading off there. Yeah, it's going to be a bad offense in Miami.
You know what? Quinn Ewers. We're good. Take the over.
Cam, how are you feeling about Devon Achane?
I'm on it. I'm on the train.
You're on the train?
I'm on the train. I think he's going to get run into the ground, but...
Yeah, that is the ups. Like,
yep.
That is the...
Next year may suck, but...
Yes. Preemptively out on 2027.
They're all on board this year.
All right, one more piece. George Kittle, ahead of schedule. Chance to play in week one, Sean. Are you drafted George Kittle?
Hell no.
Get off this train now, like, motherless scum.
Yeah, that is the right
is
amount
that,
of dinner.
Is that, are you looking right in George Kittle's eyes and saying
yes,
that?
Yes, word for word. I would say that to his face. If George Kittle walks in here right now, I am saying that. Yeah, I mean, he tore his Achilles so late last year.
In January.
Year. Yes, and we saw it with Jason Tatum in basketball, where it's like, yeah, you can make the comeback early. But also, what happened to Jason Tatum in the most important game of the Sixers or the Celtics season in Game 7? He couldn't play. Like he pushed himself. They were very smart about it all throughout the regular season. The second they had to start pushing it in the first round of the playoffs, he couldn't finish the series. Playing NFL tight end, in my opinion, way more taxing than having than.
Playing. Especially since Kittle's one of the few tight ends that blocks.
Blocks.
Or fantasy tight ends that blocks.
Yes. Like, I cannot see how this ends well for George Kittle. Out.
So you're out. But if forced to pick between the two guys coming back from season-ending injuries last year, are you more likely to draft, I guess I know the answer, but are you more likely to draft George Kittle or Tucker Kraft?
Oh, Kraft.
Kraft.
What about you, Cam?
Yeah, I'm not on George Kittle. I mean, sure, if he's there like in the 10th round or 11th as a backup, sure. But as far as like any promise for him to be a tight end one, nah, definitely not.
I'd like to get off now.
I was never on.
Hop off.
I like these props.
I threw my ticket away.
They've made it. All right, we might have to do a hype train every week as long as we got John here on the board. All right, other side of the break, where we turn here in the bullpen, it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Brian, Cam, Sean, and John with you here on ESPN 97.5. Mount Rushmore Plus One when we return.
Bro, you know it, bro.
ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore Plus One, the award-winning, game-changing segment that has forever changed the landscape of sports radio in Houston, in Texas, in America, worldwide, in fact. And we'll get Sean, Cam, myself, John Belmer, Joe George, Andrew Carlson, Josh Evans, RJ Saunders, and a whole host of others in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in far less than the 27 years it took those bums, John and Lance.
I don't mean to demean the contributions.
Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
I don't mean to. Thank you, Lance.
Oh.
I don't mean to demean the contributions of some of the earlier names you mentioned.
Okay, but it sounds like you're about to do so.
But at what point do they get, I'm saying externally, forgotten, like lost to the sands of time? You know,
who's the first
like
to
people
get lost
don't
to the...
people don't talk about Jerry West as much as they did in 1975.
That's okay. So you're saying, and I know he watches sometimes, you're saying RJ Saunders should be written off to the Saints.
I'm not saying he should,
because he was the earliest.
You said
he was the original. Being RJ.
Yes, he was on the original Mount Rushmore Plus One, or he did one. He of did the first
very,
three.
Yeah, he did the very first one.
Yes. No, I'm not saying he should. I'm just saying...
It sounds like you're saying he should. No, RJ, if you're watching, I love you. Sean doesn't.
I just don't believe in the record keeping of...
All right. I respect the history...
Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
I respect the
Hater
history
Sean.
Of
Hater
this
Sean.
Show. I respect the history of this segment.
I mean...
Sean just wants to throw everyone to the trash
I don't want
of history.
To. No, I said, will it happen, unfortunately?
I John,
they don't live
Sean
in Texas
get,
anymore.
So when we all get in, Sean gets an
maybe we don't
asterisk.
Let Sean in.
He just gets an asterisk
yeah,
next
maybe
to
we
his.
Don't let Sean in.
I like that
to
I'm,
other people
I'm the Kurt Schilling of this. I'm the one that.
Have you ever done a show with a bloody sock?
Or been a racist.
Not a radio show. What'd you say, Johnny?
Or been really racist.
Or been really racist, yeah.
No.
I mean, not on there.
I haven't.
Yeah, that was kind of disrespectful. Calling you the Kurt Schilling of the show.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was.
We had the Jason Statham of Houston Sports Radio and Brian McDonald. I was going to give you, because there's an open coming for this. I was going to give you the Vin Diesel of Houston Sports Radio show, but I think you just became the Kurt Schilling
Houston Sports Radio. That cannot be an intro. That cannot do it.
Well, you're not even in the intro today.
I was going to say, I prefer not being in the intro. This is being the Kurt Schilling.
Well, I have to find one for Cam, but Jason Statham, Kurt Schilling, two of the members here of the bullpen.
The Paul Walker. Give me the Paul Walker.
Oh, we're doing Mount Rushmore Plus One. That's what we're doing. Cam, you haven't said words this segment. Would you like to lead off?
Sure.
Okay.
So, excuse me.
Right into the mic, please.
Well, hey, got Lance at the Hall of Fame coughing right
from that is front. True.
I didn't cough. I was clearing my throat.
Just as bad.
Okay. Well, so mine is foods that I can't have, or I feel like the taste completely goes away if one ingredient, like a topping or a sauce, is missing.
Okay.
Like I cannot.
One ingredient removed and it goes from something you want to something you wouldn't order.
Basically, okay. Yes.
This meal is a microchip.
Yes.
One grain of sand.
Like you said earlier, you, five fingers makes a fist.
Chris Traeger of Houston Sports Radio. Is that better?
I would take literally almost anything to be Kurt Schilling. I said almost anything.
Yeah, almost.
Almost?
I know there's a lot of H-Man talk on the morning show.
John Granato dropped the name. We can put that on you if you want.
I don't think we can, actually.
No, probably not. I don't think Michael Carroll would make that open.
What's your list?
Oh, yes. Hey. Sorry.
This is
we're going to the top of the
hour. We're going to go so long.
It's a free-for-all. Sorry, Astros. We didn't get to you today.
They'll be okay. So, first one. A Vietnamese place, specifically pho. If there's no sriracha, I'm not ordering pho.
Okay.
I have to have...
It has to be spicy.
I have to have something in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to have sriracha.
Can you replace the sriracha with something else spicy? Or does it have to be specifically sriracha?
I mean, I've done it where I've added extra of the little liquidy chili paste. But then it just it makes the broth too greasy and liquidy. At least with sriracha, it thickens it up. And I love sriracha. So
you like it thick?
Yes. Yes. I like my bowls thick.
Continue.
A sandwich with no mayo. Not happening.
Oh, yeah. Not happening.
You need mayo?
I need mayo.
You can't have a sandwich. So that include hamburgers?
No.
Or specific deli sandwiches?
Deli sandwiches.
See, I could go mustard and be fine.
If I have sandwich makings at home and no mayo, I'm not making a sandwich.
Really? Yeah.
I will go to the store to get mayo. I'm not a mustard person.
Yeah. Huh. I need either mustard or mayo.
Same.
I'd prefer mustard, but I can do a light mayo, but I do need something there.
Yeah,
you definitely got to have something. I would not, you said you'd make a trip to the store for it. I would not. I would just all right, mustard's fine.
So then is Cam the Will Levis of the show?
Maybe he is. Will Levis. There you go. We found his role.
I do like mayo. So, and then like a Euro place or like a Euro bowl. If there's no tzatziki sauce,
I'm with you.
Nope. This is the one I'm not having.
This is the one I'm most with so far.
Not happening. Sorry. Yeah.
I couldn't eat a Euro without tzatziki.
Yeah. Salads. I love salads, but you're a psycho to me if you can eat a dry salad. I have to have...
People order without dressing?
I've seen people eat salads without dressing.
Really?
Yeah. And I've also seen the people that get salads and then they get dressing on the side. And then they dip their lettuce into the dressing. But I have to have at least ranch or something. Yeah. I cannot eat a dry salad.
No, that's insane.
And then waffles with no syrup. I've seen people
also insane.
Yeah, I've seen people do it with just butter. I cannot eat a waffle or a pancake if it's there's no syrup.
I don't like butter on my pancakes or waffles. I just prefer syrup.
I think I almost prefer more butter than syrup. But I still have to have syrup.
You know what's coming to Chick-fil-A next week?
Oh, yeah.
The chicken waffle sandwich?
Yeah, I saw that.
I went in
a one-time deal.
I went in yesterday, and they actually had a sample of it. So I got to try a little small piece of it.
Ooh.
It was pretty freaking good.
They had samples?
Yeah, they had samples.
But it's a one-time limited offer, isn't it? Like a one-day thing?
No, I think it, I thought it was a seasonal thing because they always do those seasonal things that are around for like 3-4 months. I thought it was seasonal, but
well,
doing a s'mores shake. So
oh my god,
if you're wanting to be fat, there's a day.
But I feel like you can go to Chick-fil-A and get a lot of food and not feel as bad as you would if you got like the equivalent at McDonald's.
Oh yeah, that's how I've lost almost 60 pounds. It's because I just eat Chick-fil-A all the time.
Well, yeah, hell.
The Jared Fogle of
ESPN. Oh my god.
No!
That one's
making the intro for sure.
I can't talk.
That's
for a
one of the okay, that's one I, of the things Jared Fogle did.
I can't talk. I think John has to go next. Like I can't talk right now.
Belmer?
Damn it.
Yeah. I think yep. HR.
I'm just
gonna
sit over here
one.
In shame for a little bit.
Yep.
To be fair,
I deny the allegations.
To be fair, you did call him the Curt Schilling of the show.
I deserve the comeback.
Turnabout is fair.
I deserve the comeback. Belmer, you go next.
All right. I don't know if y'all seen this, but in November of this year, we're finally going to get Grand Theft Auto 6.
Sean and I are talking about taking vacation days.
Did you say you weren't sure if we knew that?
Yeah, I wasn't, but I guess
Sean and I are literally considering taking vacation.
I guess I should have expected that. But did y'all see what the military is doing for a retention? They call it a retention like attempt. I don't know if y'all seen this, but apparently, if you are at the Fort Stewart in Georgia, you can sign up for a 4-day like pass for the weekend dedicated to playing Grand Theft Auto. So like if you're stationed there, the requirement for that is though, you do have to sign a reenlistment for at least 2 to 6 years.
Jeez.
In order
you got to give the government 2 years to play GTA for 4 days.
In order to get GTA for 4 days. But, I mean, it might be worth it if you're planning on reenlisting already.
Anyway. Yeah.
They said dozens of people have already signed up for it. But Grand Theft Auto's coming, and I'm excited. But seeing that story inspired my Mount Rushmore Plus One you know, when you're riding around in the car, you know, running from the cops or doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah, of course.
And you turn on the radio. This is my Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Life is GTA.
What? No, what'd you say?
Don't.
Keep going.
This is my Mount Rushmore Plus One of sports announcers or people in sports that I want calling my police chases as I go through
there's
the game.
There's a right answer here for number one.
There's a right. Well, I'm going to go from 5 down to 1.
Okay.
Number 5, I cheated a little bit because I was doing play-by-play announcers, and this guy's not a play-by-play announcer. But number 5 is Charles Barkley.
Oh,
yeah.
I want him to tell me how terrible. Yeah, everything that I'm doing in the game is.
I mean, I could go for just all the inside the NBA guys just reacting.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like just all of them on a channel. Yeah, I think you kind of nailed that.
No, that's all
right. Number 4 for me is just my favorite guy. Besides, he is drunk. I can't think of any. But Kevin Harlan.
That was my number one.
That was your number one. Okay.
No, there's another. There's another.
There are several other ones.
He's
I think
drunk
are
beating
better.
His chest.
Yes, but I think Kevin Hart's my favorite guy, and I want to go to like the strip club or something, order a bunch of drinks, get drunk, and then drive around and have
with
Kevin Harlan
with
tell
Kevin
me
Hart.
How drunk I am. Yeah, yeah. Number 3, Mike Breen.
Oh, I could just a bang!
Yes, I could just imagine
like, every time you shoot somebody that you shouldn't, just or bang!
A rocket launcher,
slap a guy as you're carjacking him, bang!
A rocket launcher at a police helicopter was what I thought.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bang!
Yeah.
Number
I want that so bad.
Number 2, Chris Berman, because I want what's the sound? The other one. Maybe I'm mixing them up. But wasn't he the guy that did the whoop? Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
What sound was it? Yeah, whatever sound it was. Whenever people would juke, like I want, I want to hear that as I like fly through the highway, going back and forth from Mike. But yes,
that's a funny one.
You got
nobody
the sound.
Circles the wagons like John Belmer.
Hey, I like that. I'm gonna cut that. And then number 1, the guy himself, Jeremy Branham. I got him number 1.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking like Bruce Buffer or something.
Here we go. So you're cutting through traffic.
He's really good at reading the holes and penetrating through them.
That's a pretty good call.
That's a good one.
There
pretty
you
good
go.
Call. Gus Johnson is incensed that he's left off this list.
Yeah. Like he literally once said about Chris Johnson, former Titans running back, he's got running away from the cop speed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's, man.
He literally said it.
honorable mention.
Yeah, Gus Johnson. I think I would have subbed out Berman for Gus.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. I would have subbed out Brandon.
I'm being a good teammate. All right. My Mount Rushmore plus one. I think continuing the things that annoy Sean, what I say, last couple weeks have been NFL quarterbacks who aren't NFL quarterbacks.
Makes no sense.
I often describe some players who are timeless as having Wolverine blood.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Sean always like,
not really what that means.
What does that mean? I'm sure. What does that mean? So this is my Mount Rushmore plus
blood.
One.
The X gene.
I know. I'm running with it, though. But I'm just, Mount Rushmore plus one of athletes who have, in fact, Sean, Wolverine blood.
Okay.
Number one, or first one on the list, Nolan Ryan.
Pitched
four decades. Dude at 45, yeah. I didn't find this out or remember this until I looked at this yesterday. At age 45, he had made 27 starts with an ERA under 4. At age 45.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Wolverine blood. Next on the list, because how can you do this without this guy? Cal Ripken Jr. Yep. Like, literally had the record for most consecutive
Iron Man
played. So, how could he have this list without the legend Cal Ripken Jr.? Next on my list of Mount Rushmore plus one of athletes who had Wolverine blood, Derrick Henry. He's timeless.
Yeah.
Dude is like 33. He still ran for almost 1,600 yards and 16 touchdowns last year.
Yeah. And
I think he's going to do it again.
I was going to say, even the fantasy football community, where when you, the second your 28th birthday hits, they're like, drop off's coming. Off.
Yeah. They would have put you out in a flaming raft.
Yeah.
Like a Viking.
What, 20 minutes ago, you said that about Saquon Barkley, who's 29.
Yeah. Not Derrick Henry, though, because he has Wolverine blood. Yeah. See, that's the difference. Yeah. Saquon Barkley, no Wolverine blood.
Yeah.
Next one on the list, Frank Gore. I think he's had every ACL torn in his knee multiple times, and he still was rushing out there to the age of like 36.
I'm surprised he's still not going. Yeah.
He played till the time where his son was at the NFL.
Yeah.
Not nearly as good as Papa, but Frank Gore was still rushing and breaking tackles. I think he's literally at the age of 36 in the NFL, which is absolutely insane. And last one on the list, athletes with Wolverine blood. Shout out to a Texas guy. Don't sit across from him at a poker table, though. It's Adrian Peterson. He's the last running back to win NFL MVP and did so coming off a season in which he tore his ACL. And another running back that played deep into his 30s, like every year he was with the Seahawks and the Lions and the Cardinals and the Titans and the Saints. Like he was just
kind of
like, Washington he was, yeah. Like just like Frank Gore, like he was just played forever, timeless.
That's you know what? Good list.
Thank
good
you.
List, Brian. I'll be a bigger
indisputable.
Man. Indisputable. Yeah.
Athletes have Wolverine
because
blood.
Part of it's like, it would be guys who get hurt. And I'm like, well, that's the whole thing. It's like, they got hurt. Like George Kittle.
Takes the bullet, but he heals.
I think
he heals super fast.
I think you said George Kittle. I was like, I don't think George Kittle actually has a Wolverine.
No, he probably does. I didn't put him on the list, though.
Yes. No, but the five you picked are good.
All right. Main event Mapes.
All right. In honor of Texans owner Cal McNair and his cookout that he has annually. I think he has it earlier this week.
It was Tuesday.
My Mount Rushmore plus one is Mount Rushmore plus one of foods I want to see Cal McNair cook.
Okay.
All right. I'm in on this.
Number one, burgers, reason for the season. I think he does it well. I think he, I don't know.
I hope he does cook them well. I hope he cooks them medium.
Number two, pancakes. Pancakes, because, hey, if there's one thing I know he knows how to do, it's flip something.
Yeah, he can flip it.
Pretty
yeah.
easy.
Flip
and
it real
I,
good.
I feel like he would like pancakes. I don't know that.
Is that
for
a fact?
Sure.
He does look like a pancake.
He just looks like someone.
But you know that's fair. That's fair.
Like some people, you're like, oh, maybe they like waffles more. I feel like he likes pancakes more. Number three, this will be the last breakfast food. I promise. Omelets, because omelets are a little tough. Ooh. And I just want to see if he can handle it.
If he has the fine motor skills.
Are they really tough?
I want to see, like, that's me putting some belief in him. And, like, I want to see what he's made of.
Yeah, omelets are deceptively tough to make.
Yeah,
I don't even know how deceptive it is.
I don't know how tough they really are to make.
Cam, it's like one of the first things they teach you in cooking school.
Cam's our resident chef on the show. How difficult is it to make an omelet?
A really good omelet.
How difficult is it to make an omelet?
Like a really good omelet.
Well, you got to crack some eggs.
Honestly, once you, if you can nail the eggs, everything is a cakewalk from there.
Yeah, but the eggs, it's like one of the, it's not the hardest, but it's a harder level than like scrambled.
Scrambling or just doing fried, yeah.
Yes. But that's what I'm saying, is that it's
also like.
Also like
getting it rolled correctly.
Yeah, it's like one step up of preparing the eggs.
That one I feel like Cal would find a way to mess up.
Mm. Yeah. You don't have belief in a good old Cal?
This one is more like a type of food that I would want to see where Cal McNair takes it. But any sort of munchies / craving type food. Ooh. You know, like you see those, a lot of times it's like food truck where it's like, you know, some weird combination of like, you know, munchy food, whatever, and it's churro nachos or something.
Waffle tacos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would just, A, want to see Cal McNair's take on it. I just would want to see like, how he in a I guess this is more of a Chopped like scenario or like a competitive cooking show.
It's gonna have
scenario.
No seasoning at all.
So we're giving him a basket with four ingredients and say, "Hey, get to work."
Fry an Oreo. I don't know. I want to see what he does. And last but not least, I want the full presentation that comes with this. I want to see him do a Benihana style onion volcano.
Oh,
wow.
That is
a
great call. Want to see him do the.
That is with such
the,
a great
with the
call,
thing
Sean.
On the flat.
Yeah, flip up the shrimp, get it laying in his pocket.
I want to see him dressed up as a Benihana chef. Yeah. I want to see the entire thing.
I don't know if I need anything in my life more right now than Cal McNair working at Benihana.
Houston Texans, if you're listening to this,
please make this happen.
I think you are. I think the burger thing is, it's not going stale, but it's verging on running its course. It's no longer a big deal. How you get it back, put them in the Benihana suit, have them whip up some Benihana.
Good. You know, that's what AI is for. Could probably make that happen. And
yeah.
AI, make it happen.
Yeah, we can 100%. I vow I will do everything in my power, which is just this, to make it happen.
Which ends at the end of the sentence.
Yes. I mean, then there's not really anyone I could text either that could help out. I was thinking maybe
we could pass this idea along to like Will Kunkel and he could ask him at a press conference.
Yeah, that's probably the
best. Probably the extent of
best
the power.
I could do. Yeah. And I'm not sure if I will do that, but but yes, I want to see him do a Benihana.
I need that so much.
Full presentation, including it has to include the onion volcano.
Yes. Yes, I would also like to include, it has to have the flipping the shrimp up into a pocket.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or shrimp up into something.
It's or a
in
hat.
Someone's mouth.
It's in the mouth or yes. A hat or something.
Yeah, into the mouth.
It's
going to eat
it's
anyways.
Happen. It's got to happen. Cam,
what?
I love you. All right, let's finish up the show like we always do. What are worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. Starting off here with our worst people in sports this week, I have two nominations. One, Roger Goodell, for this whole idea of trying to make NFL, you know, like NFL in Europe happen. Like, I just hard pass. Like, I don't want it. One, for multiple reasons. I think the main one being that, like,
this is
how
America?
Many watchable NFL teams are there right now? And you want to divide the talent out more?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess unless you're talking about moving a team, then I'd be more open to it. But it still leads to the next problem that I have is, like, how do you schedule it?
Yeah, the logistics is
weird. Unless you add like, unless you put like four teams over there and you can play like a four on, four off, like pod thing. Unless you're doing that, like the scheduling is a nightmare.
Yeah.
I just have no interest in NFL moving to your, like if they want to put a team in Mexico or Canada, cool.
Yeah.
But Europe, I'm out.
Yeah.
Europe, I'm out.
And I'm not sure if they want it either.
No, I don't think they do either. And my other nomination for worst person in sports this week is just the AL West. It's just a dumpster fire. Like, I was telling this, I think, to Sean off the
worst
air. Like,
person, the AOF.
It is. Like, the entire division has a negative run differential. The entire division. The best team in the division is one game over 500. I would have no problem if Rod Manfred just said, you know what, AOS, you're sitting this year out. Like, we're not putting you in the playoffs. Like, number one seed just gets a bye.
You're riding the pine.
You're just riding the pine. Like, I would have no problem with that whatsoever. It's just a dumpster fire division. Cam? Your worst person?
Well, mine is similar to John, so I'm going to go to my second one so he can have it.
You can tag team this one.
Yeah, go ahead and tag team it.
Okay. Well,
what are you tag teaming, Sean, Cam?
What are you and John Belmer sharing?
Yeah,
we are tag teaming dildos on the court.
wait a second.
Cam, you weren't supposed to actually.
What do you mean? You guys
Just say Bilbo. At least say Bilbo.
Bilbo Baggins?
Toys, yeah. Like we have written in the document. That could be you could write anything in this document and be okay, and you wrote sex toys, but then on air.
Luckily, no one's listening right now, I think, because on air is not
the FCC.
Is that not an allowed word?
I think it's technically allowed. Someone could call in and complain. That's a whole
thing. Also, the Dalton Varsho is my worst person in sports.
All right. He is a Bilbo, that is for sure.
Right. He's not even worthy of Bilbo Baggins.
By the way, I just want to clarify, we're not sharing that.
We're not. Yeah. I mean,
No.
I mean, you guys share it. It's in the doc.
Yeah. What's your thing for this segment?
I just hate people throwing sex toys onto the WNBA.
See, that's
courts.
How it's done, then, Cam. He said sex toys. Sean, who's your worst person?
I was just being specific.
David Mulligetta for demanding $70 million a year from the CBS crowd, obviously. According to sources.
I saw the report.
Yeah, I saw it verified from ESPN itself.
Yahoo Sports had it?
Yes.
It clearly happened.
I'm Yard Barker, I'm sure, had
it. Yeah, Bleacher Report probably.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated probably had it.
David Mulligetta, $70 million.
Bad person. All right, let's stop swimming with the Anger Sharks, talk about what we love from sports this week. Audio here. Actually, we don't have time for this. We'll be way over. But what I love from sports this week was Kyle Brandt's comparison of the Dallas Cowboys to Taco Bell. That year after year, like, the menu items keep changing, but it's the same four ingredients year after year. You know, it's shell, meat, cheese, lettuce, tomato, but they just call it something different because this one has nacho cheese on it instead of shredded cheese.
Yeah.
It's a different item. Seek out that audio. It was a great comparison, or analogy, that is, from Kyle Brandt. Cam?
So mine's a personal one. Tuesday was very sportsy. I got to go to spring training and then the Astros game later that day.
Spring training in August?
Training
camp. Sorry, training camp. Apologies.
Boom! Roasted.
I did have some roast at the Astros game, actually. Okay. I was in the Gallagher suite.
John, because I like what you put here, and you... for various reasons, what is the thing you love?
I knew you'd like this one.
I love this one.
Y'all heard about the fight between the Cowboys and Saints?
Of course.
Well, apparently one of the Saints players, Robert, I don't know how to pronounce, Reichstein.
Rex Snyder.
Brock, yeah. Sorry, Brock. Son of Braun Breaker, WWE guy.
No, cousin.
Cousin.
Oh, I thought it was son.
No.
Oh,
no,
anyway.
He's the son of Scott Steiner.
Scott Steiner.
Well, either way, not a wrestling guy. But I love the fact that he's got wrestling in his lineage, and then he did a suplex on, on the Cowboys guy.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, yeah. It's been two times he's been the person one of us loves. He is sneaking up on anti-Paul Pierce status.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce, famously always the person one of us hates.
Mostly Josh Chavez.
Yes, but he probably had like a month straight of being the person we hate. Little Papa Pump.
Little Papa Pump.
I guess that doesn't really matter.
He's genetically gifted.
He's a freak.
He's a freak. Freaking
nature.
Yeah.
My thing I loved in sports this weekend is synergistic brand deals in college sports. Specifically, Georgia football partnering with Progressive Insurance for on-field advertisements inside their stadium. That's hand in glove. I think, if you're on the roads anywhere near Athens, it's probably best that you have insurance.
I would say
if you're anywhere near a Georgia football player,
anywhere in the vicinity,
including at the stadium watching them play,
it's perfect. All right, for John Belmer behind the glass, for Cam, for Sean as well. I'm Brian McDonough. Thank you for listening this week, Houston. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend. Peace. Dragged his Brandoms across the face.
Yeah.
You gonna be all right, Cam?
I don't know why I found that so funny.
Are you picturing it?
Kind of. I just pictured just somebody laying on the ground and Jeremy
Sam Monson
laying on the ground.
Edit.